All right. I'm going to preach from down here this morning. Just the as we're carrying on in Acts, this can I call it a journey that we've been on? Am I going to get feedback here? Is this, or can you figure we'll be all right? All right. Just that the reason we're in Acts is because we are looking at the example of the early church, and how did they follow and do this mission that Jesus had given them. And we want to do the same. It's our mission too. Jesus hasn't come back yet. And so we've been looking, and so as we study, I'm on this journey too with you. I really do believe that as we seek together for God leading us just one step at a time. And as we came to this passage today, it just felt like there was, especially with what Dirk read there, that there's just some things that we could apply this morning together. I mean, they gathered together to pray and to worship. And so we're just going to look to do that out of application. And that's really, that lays out the rest of the book of Acts is that. We're only four chapters in, and we've seen that, right? We've seen the disciples, Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they're empowered, and they go out, and God gives them the ability to speak in other languages. It draws a crowd. They bear witness to Jesus. They're going to the temple, and what we looked at last week, they healed a crippled man, crippled from birth, draws a crowd boldly, bear witness to Jesus. But then the temple leaders don't like that, do they? And so the temple leaders, what we looked at last week, they come and they arrest them, keep them overnight. And then last week he looked at that, like that's the first opposition, the first pushback, I guess, to the disciples a couple days in after the Pentecost. And what do? And so Peter and John speaking boldly that there's salvation in no other name. You know, and that's what it means to bear witness. And that's what we kind of looked at last week. And really, our challenge from last week was, when we're given the opportunity to witness, are we willing to stand and speak boldly for Jesus? And you think of the disciples, remember last week, the disciples are standing there in this kind of semicircle amphitheater, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court. And they were pulled before them, and they're in this thing, and they've got the crippled guy, now healed, standing right with them. The evidence was right there. And so this group that was trying to silence Peter and John were left speechless, because what could they say? And we'll actually see that here, and this is where we left off last week, verses 13 and 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. Astonished. That was at their boldness, at their teaching, at the authority with which they taught, at how sure they were that Jesus really did rise from the dead. I mean, there was no doubt they believed it 100%. And here they are standing with all the intimidation of the Supreme Court, Supreme Council, the Sanhedrin. They were astonished at just the boldness of these guys. And they recognized they'd been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. And so when we're given that opportunity to witness, are we willing to be bold? Are we willing to speak the name of Jesus? They're speaking before the crowd, the Sanhedrin, the very same one that like less than 60 days earlier had crucified Jesus, right? And now they're daring them to speak his name. And so are we willing to be bold? And will people say that about us? Will when they look at our lives, you know, does the evidence of our life show that we've been with Jesus? You know, that the evidence is undeniable. And that was kind of the challenge we were left with last week. And so that's what we're going to pick up this week. Do we honestly want to see God work in powerful ways in and through us? It's kind of the question for today. So today, because it's going to be a little more interactive, when you came in, you got a piece of paper. Does everybody have the little handout? I'll ask this. Does anybody not have the handout? We'll do a quick run. Okay, we got a couple here. I'll just grab. Michael will be a runner. I'll take the whole bin. All right. Thanks, Micah. If you need that, or there is pens in the chairs in front of you, or if you need a pen, just put your hand up, and Micah will go. Anybody who has a hand up. So Mr. Allen had his hand up. We got a couple more. So pen or a paper. There might be a few hands. There is pens in the chairs in front of you if you can't find it. Get those hands real high so Micah can see them. Here I am talking. I need to. All right. Oh, I got him running. It's okay. He's good at running. And so I'll get you writing now. Just keep those hands up if you need anything. And Micah will find you. But I'll get you writing now as you can start thinking. Write down the opportunities that you have to witness. What are the opportunities that you've been given? And I can you can kind of think through it in maybe two different ways. Think of the places where you are, the places God has placed you. Is it your workplace, your home, your neighborhood? Who are your neighbors on the left and right, across the road? Maybe you're part of a community group or a sports team, your school. What are the places that God has? Lots of hands still. You can think through God's placed you. What are the places that he's placed you? Or you can think through the people. Who are the people God's put in your life? And maybe just take a moment and just close your eyes. I mean, we've got so many people in our life that need him, but ask God, who is he? Who stirs your heart? Who is he stirring your heart for? Who do you believe that God has put you in their life in order to be a light, to be an example? It could be people you haven't met yet, neighbors. It could be someone you've got a really great relationship with, a family member, a kid, a child. Anybody else need a paper pen? Last call. Hand real high so Micah can see it. We're all good. Thanks, Micah. Yeah, as you think through that, or it could be maybe you don't have that kind of a relationship with Jesus. Maybe what I'm saying here, the idea of being a witness and being a light and sharing Jesus with somebody, you're going, I don't even really know. I'm struggling myself. Maybe I wouldn't even call myself a Christian or something. And I just want to make, if that's you, that you can just write down on your paper there, just people that have spoken to you, who's in your life that has spoken to you, that have tried to share with you, that you know loves Jesus. Who are the Peter and Johns in your life? If that's you. I'll leave that. And so the mission that Jesus has given us isn't easy. Even though we have all these opportunities to share this greatest news ever, eternal life, salvation, relationship with God, anybody find that easy? Looking at that list, is that just like, oh, okay, no problem, I'm good. Yeah. And that's a challenge, right? And so we're going to see that first this morning in the passage. We're going to look first at some of the ways that we're opposed, some of the challenges we come up against. And we're going to look at that first, and then we'll look at how they responded. And so with that in mind, we can keep going here. Oh, there is the slide for, I missed. Verses 15 to 17. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another. This is the Sanhedrin talking, okay? Saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. And so we see this opposition come up. And the first thing, we know that we get opposed, challenged in all kinds of ways when it comes to witnessing. And one of the first one is just denying the evidence, right? Even like much of our world even denies the existence of God, let alone the truth of who Jesus is. He actually is God in the flesh, rose again. Much of that is denied, that even though the evidence is there, and we live in a pretty amazing time in history when we have so much of that evidence, And so there's a few ways. I mean, you think in our today, we would say that science has advanced farther than any time in history, technology-wise, pretty undeniable. And yet, and with that, we've been able to see more microscopic things than ever, or to the grandeur of the universe. If anybody's seen any pictures from the James Webb Telescope lately, just unbelievable how you could deny a God exists when you see some of those photos are just incredible. And yet at the same time, science is often used as an alternative to God, right? It's in some way they try and explain God without, you know, explain him away. Find some explanation that you don't need to believe that God exists. And so there's all kinds of great testimonies and resources for you. And so I don't know if maybe that's part of the evidence that you can share, maybe in your witnessing, the people on your list, the places. Is there just some way that you can share some of that evidence for God? And there's lots of resources out there. You can talk to me after if you'd like, or talk to a lot of the greatest scientists in history were Christians or became Christians through it. We also live in an amazing time of history about who Jesus is, right? And just all the evidence for the truth. The Bible is true. What we're reading this morning is true about who he is. And archaeology and all those historical documents that show that what we know, Jesus really did come and live and die, was crucified by under Pontius Pilate and Herod. And we're going to see that in the text in just a little bit. And Dirk read it this morning, right? All that, we know that to be true. And you have cool stories like Lee Strobel, Case for Christ, if you ever heard that before, you know, someone who, an attorney that set out to prove that Jesus didn't exist, he wasn't real, those things weren't true, and ended up becoming a Christian when the evidence was overwhelming. Pretty amazing. But then the greatest evidence we've talked about in the last few weeks is your own testimony, right? What God's done in your life, that's the one that's kind of like the guy standing beside us. When they look at your life, can they say, yeah, there's no denying they've been with Jesus. They're a changed life. There's something different about them. And you can point to the evidence of how God's been involved in your life. And maybe that's one of the things that you can do to the people that are on your list. And so that's the first thing the world does when they challenge us. They challenge, sometimes they just want to ignore the evidence. But for us as Christians, we have the truth, amen? And we have the evidence. And so we have, there maybe there's opportunities for you to share some of the truth and the evidence that we have for Jesus as a witness. But then secondly, if they can't deny the evidence, they just try to silence it, right? That's verse 17. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them not to speak anymore. They just want John and Peter to be quiet. And I'd say in our day, we have much the same thing. They want to hear our message, or they twist it, you know? That's the other one. Either you try and silence it, or you just twist it, or label it misinformation, or whatever. And so we experience that too, don't we? But as I was just thinking, I mean, in our day, so much more now, we're finding that people don't even know what the message of Jesus is now. Like, they don't even know who he is. Even people in church, Bart and Lisa's testimony at the baptisms, that's just come back to me a number of times, where Bart was just like, I want to get baptized because I get it now. I understand, he says. And he grew up in church. He was 50, you know? And it's like, now I finally understand who Jesus is personally. And it's like, wow, what a testimony, you know? And that's the testimony we have. And so we want to speak. This is where we need to be bold, you know? This is where we need to help people understand. Who knows what misconceptions the people on your list that you wrote down, what misconceptions do they have? What do they think they believe about Jesus? And until you get talking with them and try and understand and have those God conversations where you can kind of start to show what is the truth. And of course, to speak the truth, we need to know the truth, right? And so this is where we need to be. Do we speak out of our own personal relationship with Jesus, that we know him and we can share that? And I just want to encourage you, too, that we don't have to be afraid of those questions they might ask, because we have the truth, right? We believe that. And so it doesn't mean you're going to have the answer to every question they might ask you, but the truth is on our side, amen? And so we can be confident, though, no matter what we're asked or what comes to us, that we'll be able to speak that truth. And so those are some of the challenges we see that Peter and John experienced with witnessing, and that we can think relate to a little bit. Denying the evidence, twisting it, not understanding. And so just as you if you grab your paper there again, What are the challenges you're facing? And be specific. So look at those. Look at your paper. Look at the places that you put down, maybe the places or the people. And maybe just close your eyes and imagine it. Imagine, I mean, this is where are the places you're going to be this week? Who are the people you're going to be interacting with this week? And imagine if you, like, what does it look like to have a God conversation with one of them this week? You know, what's the first thing, if you picture that scenario, what's the first thing that makes you go, oh, I don't know, but what if, you know, what are those? Those are the challenges. Those are the challenges. And so look down, take some time, look down your list, think of those names, picture those interactions, and write down what are the challenges that you might come up against, that you're facing. The reasons you'd say, I could never, .. And if you're here and you're not a Christian or you're struggling with your own belief in Jesus, maybe you're just putting down the things that are stopping you. What are the things that are causing all the doubt in your own life? You can put those down, the things you don't agree with or don't understand. I'd like to be part of this today, so I'll give you a minute and I'm going to do And then, so then they come back to Peter and John, and verse 18, so they call them back in, charge them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus, and then Peter and John have this choice. Are they going to listen to what the world says, the pressure that's being put on them, or are they going to speak boldly, right? But Peter and John answered to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we can't speak but what we have seen and heard. And so I just got thinking is, you know, we have a lot of those pressures, right? Do we conform to the world or not? You know, like that's probably some of the challenges. I know I feel that. By the way, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I want you to know that. Very much so. So, but yeah, we can that that, I mean, Jesus told us we weren't going to fit in. He said, the world hated me, it's going to hate you too, you know? And so that's a hard thing to be in this world. And we want to love people and we want to build relationship. At the same time, we're not of the world, yet we're in it, you know? And Jesus calls us to love them. And it's a, you all get that. But I think one of the things that I was preparing and I was wrestling through my own heart is just that, that pull towards just not getting out of my comfort zone, you know? Not getting out, like, that boldness to speak, that's really the crux verse here we'll get to, right? Lord, grant us to speak with boldness while you stretch out your hand and do all these things. And it's like, man, that speaking boldly, and that's hard, and we can justify it in all different ways, you know, whether it's, I'm just going to be, this was the one classic growing up for me, was I'm just going to be a good person, you know, and people will see the difference by how I live, and yeah, and I just got to a point, honestly, as a probably early college days, I'd been same group of friends that I'd grown up with, really good non-Christian friends, you know, and it got to the point where there was nothing else I could show them with my life, you know what I mean? Like, they already knew everything about me. They knew what I stood for, what I believed, what I thought of Jesus. And yet, at some point, I got to open my mouth, you know? It was, and I really wrestled with that, and still do. Still do. But we can justify that, or we don't want to offend anybody, or we need to be working on our own relationship first. We're not ready, you know? And the thing about those is that there's truth to each one, right? We're not out there to offend people. We don't want to offend anybody, right? There's truth. We do need to have our relationship with Jesus. We do need to be working on that. That's what we witness out of, right? We need to have that personal relationship as a foundation. Mm-hmm. The time and the needed and our own responsibilities that we already have and those things. There's truth to that, but we just need to be careful that those don't become justifications or excuses to not speaking boldly. And so for me, the guard that I have, I just share, and maybe someone else has some different ones, but the one that is guard for me is I just remember that there's an eternity at stake. And it's that love. That's what we saw last week. You know, Peter and John, they spoke incredibly boldly, and yet he concludes it with, there's salvation in no other name. You know, it's an invitation. Come to know Jesus. And that should be our hearts. And I think that guards us. You know, if we honestly, truly love the people, if we believe we love Jesus and we want to share his light, then it's going to come out. We're going to be bold, yet we're not going to be doing things just to, you know, it's going to be out of love. And it's both those things, intention. And notice that they're going to speak, verse 20, for we cannot speak of what we, but cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And just the obvious application from that is that obviously we need to have seen and heard it, right? And so we need to be in God's word. We need to know Jesus personally. We need to be working on that personal relationship so that we can speak about this Jesus that we know. And so with your paper there again, you can just take a moment and ask what steps is God asking you to take? And this is a journey. You're not going to have all the answers this morning. This is just, as you look down that list at those names, those places that God has put you, you know, just quiet yourself, listen to him. That's how we started this morning, you know, be still and know, listen. Listen to God. Is there just one step, you know? And it might vary depending on that. Like, you know, we're less than a year in our house, and there's neighbors we don't know, you know? And so the step might just be, I just want to find a way to get to know that, introduce myself to that neighbor. And so there might be that as a step. And it's just the first step, and who knows where God, you're walking with the Holy Spirit as you go through that. Or it might be, other people on your list might be a family member. And you've had conversations, and you know them, and you know where they're at, and you know what they're going through, and the step might look completely different. Maybe God's been nudging you to say something or have a conversation, and you've been haven't been bold enough to do that. And he's saying, just reach out, send a text, anything, ask them over to come and have a coffee or whatever. So just take a moment and look through. Is there any steps that God's asking you to take? to speak about what you have seen and heard. And it finishes off this section with verse 21, and when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And so they release Peter and John. The crippled guy is there. They can't do anything more. They've gone from deny to warn to threaten. We're going to see that's going to be the foundation for the coming chapters, where this is, they're also the legal Supreme Court, so now they've got a foundation to do more to them next time, which we'll see. But anyways, they threaten them, which sometimes we live in a very blessed place where we can worship freely, like Dirk prayed. One of the challenges is that we do see that being challenged, and so just be praying for our kids, like Dirk prayed. You know, they're probably the ones that are on the front lines of experiencing just push and opposition in terms of just speaking what they believe. High school, they get to college, university. It's much more outspoken there, you know. And so be in prayer for them. So you can look at your sheet. That's what we're going to bring before the Lord today. Like you said, there won't be easy answers. It'll probably just be, you got some first steps there. But I just wanted to start with that, and then we'll see. That's what we wanted, how we want to go forward as a church family. Seek the Lord together and see what he does. And so Peter and John do that. They leave that place. Verse 23, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So they gathered together. And so we're going to look to do some of this now. How did they respond to this opposition? What did they do? And the first thing they did was they gathered together. So check. All right, we're good for this morning. Here we are gathered together with the other believers, the church of that time, right? And then you notice they shared their challenges. First thing they do, they get together with their church family, and they share what had happened. They shared the challenges and the opposition. And so you'll see at the bottom of your sheet there, the last section is just that I encourage you to share it. Don't do it alone. Have someone praying with you for those people that you're looking to witness to in your life. And pray for somebody else, right? So there's opportunities like Heidi mentioned this morning that are starting up. There's small groups and prayer meetings. And so I encourage you to join one of those. Or you just find a Christian brother or sister that you can share those things with. Who's somebody that you can share? Youth you can share with each other? Have a good friend? Like, share those things. Who can you be praying for? And know that this person is praying for you. And be specific. Tell them, like, hey, I'm meeting with so-and-so. I'm doing this, whatever, this week. Be praying for this opportunity. And then you be praying for them. So put down a name there who you're going to share it with. I really like you to, again, as humans, our tendency is to make the fences high and the dining table small, if you ever heard that expression, right? And we like to kind of isolate, and we need to take that step and share with somebody and then offer to pray with them. So put that put that name down, who you're going to share it with. And then they go on. What they do next? And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." So they lift their voices together. Now, was it a prayer? Was it a song? They're going to quote Psalm 2 here in the next couple verses. And I would suspect that they sang this, but is there really a difference? They're lifting their voices to God. And their first thing is to go, Sovereign Lord, who made everything. And I think that's a great place for us to start, isn't it? As we look at that list, where do we even start with this? As we remind ourselves that God's in control. Amen? That he's sovereign over all. This isn't outside his control. That he's still working. We believe that. You look at the names and the places on that list. It's not an accident that you're there, right? It's not outside his control. He's already working, and he's inviting us to come along and be part of what he's already doing in those people's lives. God's been faithful before. He'll be faithful again. So then they quote this psalm, "Who, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his anointed.'" That's Christ. And so they quote this psalm. They go back to this thing, like, why do people rage against this great news, this gospel message that we have? And if you go back and read Psalm 2, it's all about the Messiah. And it's not just his coming, but also the end when Jesus will rule and reign forever on the new heaven and new earth. It's a pretty amazing psalm. And so they sing this psalm. I believe they sang this psalm of about the Messiah and God's sovereignty and how he's still in control. And then verses 27 and 28, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." And so this is kind of what Lynn mentioned. I didn't know Lynn was going to say that, but this is kind of exactly what Lynn mentioned. Like, just think of these in the moment. They're now past Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit coming, and they're looking back. But remember, when they were in that moment and Jesus had just been arrested in the garden, they scattered, right? And they're going, "God, what's happening? You've lost control, God. You know, what are we going to do?" That's what it felt like for them. And then here they are now looking back, and they're going, "None of that was out of your control. This was all according to your plan. We can see it now. We can see that Jesus had to die as an innocent man for our sin, be rising, and that your plan was always that he would rise again, conquering sin and death, delivering us from that, offering us salvation, ascending to heaven to prepare a place for us." Now they can see it clearly, but in the moment they couldn't. And so just like Lynn was challenging us at the end of that song, you know, that for us, as you look at that sheet, and you might know some of those names on that sheet, you might know the challenges, and maybe you've been asking questions. There's some people on that sheet that might be angry at God or angry at you or don't want to hear it. And you might know the things you're going, "Why, Lord? Why?" It just seems like it's one thing after another, you know? And we can't see what God's doing in the moment, but we believe that he is working, amen? And so we do need to remind ourselves that he is sovereign, he's in control, nothing is outside of his plan. And that he's working in the people and the places on your list as well. And so for this morning, I thought we could practice this morning a little bit, sing a song together, lift our voices to the sovereign Lord. And so I asked Lynn if she would play "In Christ Alone." So you can stand, you can sit, you can just read the words, you can sing along, but lift your voice, remind yourself of the sovereignty of God, who he is and what he's done. And this isn't the end. We're going to come back and look at it some more. So keep your Bibles open and your sheets out. We have a closing song. This is mid-sermon song, okay? Just saw all the Bibles going away.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose. The precious blood of Christ.
Section here is, as you read, sing these words and read through these words, this verse was awesome. It just, this is the one that I really came to mind when I thought about the people on my list. As you're thinking through, this is God. The verses after this are asking God to work. To give us boldness, you know. Do we want that? We've just sang about why this message, with all that in Christ alone, like why we the message that we have to share. We just sang, you know. And then here's the encouragement for us as we go in to be His disciples. Let's sing.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man. Turns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand, till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen. Amen. And now, and then they pray. They worship, lift their voices, and then they pray. And we'll end our service with a time of prayer. And now, Lord, look upon their threats That's whatever that opposition is that you had on your list. Lord, look upon whatever that is, whatever it is that's the challenges that you're facing. Lord, look upon those challenges and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And so we're going to just have a prayer time to kind of close off our service today. So kind of two things from that verse. You'll have time, maybe you'll just pray. You can pray by yourself or pray with the person if someone close, spouse or whatever, someone close to you, you can pray with them. If you guys have you'll likely have a shared list in a lot of cases. So you can pray together with someone. First thing would be to pray that for boldness, to speak his word. And I was reminded that it's his word. It's what he wants to say, right? And so that's where it's so important that the Holy Spirit is with us, you know, that we're relying on him, because sometimes it might just be you're looking for those opportunities to have a God conversation. You know, what is he looking to say? And you're getting to know that you're dialoguing. We talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, you're understanding where they're at because God's working in their life, amen? And so where is God working? And you want to understand that and try and point out, look, here's the truth. Here's what Jesus is doing. And so those opportunities to be bold to speak his word, what he's looking to say to them for that moment. You can think through the interactions, what the person might like. You can pray for specific ones. If you're meeting with some of them this week, you know, if you're going to be interacting, think through those. Pray for boldness for that specific situation for this week. That conversation you're going to have, that interaction. And then the second thing would be to pray that God would work. And be bold enough to pray this. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And, I mean, I get that, but I don't get that. You know what I'm saying? But we pray that God would work in their life. We want God to work in powerful ways in the person's life so that we can point to God, right? I mean, that's the reason he heals and does those things. That's the example of the crippled guy, right? It was an opportunity for God to show his power so they could say, this is what Jesus did. It was by faith in his name that this man is standing before you well, right? And so we live in a broken world. Our bodies are going to break down. They're not going to last forever. But God still works, he still heals, but it's greater than just the alleviating of the pain or the situation. It's to give us an opportunity to say, Jesus did this, right? And so we pray that God would work, whatever that situation is. Would God, just a prayer of God, would you show yourself in some way? Whatever you know best, you know what best way. But we're going to pray, and when we see someone's going through something, we want to pray and let them know. We're praying for you in that situation, and we believe that God's going to work. And then just so that we can have the opportunity to say, look what God did when he answers that prayer. Amen. Are we bold enough to pray that this morning? And so just take a couple minutes there, just praying with the... Actually, I might switch stuff up here. Let me just see for a second. I think I am. Okay. I was going to close. Let me just finish with verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And the Holy Spirit comes and the place is shaken. I think, well, I mean, that's just God. The place doesn't have to shake for the Holy Spirit to be there, okay? We know that, right? We're not all shaken all the time. We have the Holy Spirit, right? But sometimes God does that. And you've probably experienced, you've been on this journey long enough, you've had times where God was more, you felt it, he revealed himself in some more real way. And other times, it's just, you just know he's with you. But why did God do that for them this time? Why did he come and shake that place to confirm, like, yes? And I think there's two reasons. They were focused on the mission of Jesus. They were honestly praying. They wanted God to use them. They wanted opportunities for that week. That was an honest prayer of theirs. Like, God, give us opportunities. Grant us to speak boldly. And can we honestly say that this morning? Do we honestly want, Lord, I want those opportunities. They might not be easy, might be awkward, I might have to step out of my comfort zone, but can I honestly pray this morning that you would give me that opportunity this week? I think that was the first thing. And then the second thing was that they really believed that God would do things. They really believed that God was working those people's lives, that he would stretch out his hand and do signs and wonders and reveal himself in different ways. They believed it. And so they were courageous enough to pray that too. And so, just as we close, we enter a time of prayer. Can we be so bold as to do that? Let's expect to come back next week with examples of answered prayer, opportunities we had to share. Amen? Amen. Take some time, pray with the person you're with, and then Lynn and the praise team, I'll pray to kind of end it, and then the praise team can just come right up and we'll do a closing song. Now, Lord, we come before you, sovereign God. We thank you for the relationship that you've given us. and the gospel message that we have. And we pray that you would give us opportunities this week, Lord, to have conversations. Give us the words. Jesus, you promised that the Holy Spirit would give us the words to say. We've seen it in your scriptures. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, gave him the words to speak boldly. We're asking that you would give us the words this week. Maybe it's a whatever the way that is, in the how. How do we are to reach out to these people that don't know you? Show us, Lord. Prepare their hearts to hear what we have to say. Open our eyes and ears. May this be a week that we sense your presence, Holy Spirit, so strongly in those interactions. And might we experience the joy of being used by you, of you working through us. It's such an exciting thing to be on this journey with you, to be used by you. I pray that you do a work in our own hearts as well, that you would deepen our desire to know you more, that you would burden our hearts for those around us that don't know you. Lord, help us to encourage one another. Put people on our hearts and minds that we would just, other Christian brothers and sisters that we can encourage and share with. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for being able to gather together and do this morning. And I pray that you would shake this place, that you would confirm it and continue to work and show your love, Lord, that it would be evident to all that you are real, Jesus, and you're at work in this place. We pray all this in the powerful name of